waking you up like no one else. Here's Groover. Wow, you don't get something from
nothing. You get everything. You know, I've got gun stories here all over the map. A couple of them look like pretty good news for gun owners. Another one, you know, in Pennsylvania where the march is on to get you registered so they can figure out where all the guns are. So when they want to come take them back, they've got it figured out and dialed in. You've got that happening. You've got a federal judge in California saying the large capacity magazines are fine. The California's law is not legal. And in Missouri, they consider banning all federal gun control laws within the state. So in Missouri, they're going for more freedom. In Pennsylvania, they're trying to restrict it. My next guest, Dr. John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. You can find out more at crimeresearch.org. Doctor, welcome back, as always.
Morning.
So let's start in Pennsylvania, not too far from where you live, obviously, and a gun-friendly state, really. And here they come trying to register votes, the Democrats, of course, with Governor Wolf leading the way there. What do you make of it?
Well, I mean... And I agree. The claim is that these types of laws can help reduce crime, can make it easier to go and solve crimes. But the problem is that in practice, it just doesn't work. And in Pennsylvania, even, they've had licensing of one type or another, registration since 1901. They've had it on all transactions involving handguns, whether it be a sale from a dealer or a private sale, since 1933. And yet, a trial that happened a few years ago, the state police were only able to claim that there were four crimes that they had been able to solve as a result of that registration.
Since 1933, four crimes.
Right.
That's incredible.
Since 1901, actually, but the full stuff, even from 1933 for handguns. And, you know, that's true in other states. Hawaii's had registration licensing of all guns since 1960, and yet they can't point to a single crime that's been solved. You have similar things, whether it's Washington, D.C. or Chicago. And these are these are costly type things. In Hawaii, it reportedly costs about 50,000 hours worth of police time each year to go, just in Honolulu, to go and register guns. You know, in theory, if a criminal leaves a gun in a crime scene and it's registered to the criminal, then you can go and trace it back to the criminal and solve the crime. The problem is, crime guns are very rarely left at the scene of a crime.
Right.
The only that they're left there is when the criminal has been seriously wounded or killed. And the few times that they're left there, they're not registered. And the once or twice that they're actually registered, they're not registered to the person who committed the crime. And so you're spending a lot of resources to register this money and time and police hours that could be used for traditional policing that we know that works, and yet is being wasted on something that does nothing.
What do you think the chance of it is to get it through? Is it going to make it?
I don't think so this time, but if the Democrats end up taking control of the state legislature, which is getting close now, then it would probably pass.
There you go. All right, so I want to look at a couple of other things that have come up. In California, Judge Roger Benitez of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of California found that the ban on high-capacity magazines is unconstitutional. In fact, he actually cited home invasion cases in one case where a woman used extra bullets to kill her attacker and survived, and two cases where women ran out of bullets and did not survive. He said individual liberty and freedom are not outmoded concepts, he declared when he made the law unconstitutional. I think that's a big breakthrough, at least so far. I'm sure California will appeal, but it's nice to see a judge get a ruling right once in a while.
Yeah, it was a pretty simple, straightforward decision. He said, look, you look at the Heller and McDonald decisions, and the courts those cases ruled that for things that were in common ownership, you just can't go and ban them. And he said, you know, these types of magazines are commonly owned, and at least, you know, whether you think it's good or not, he said, and he said it could be good, as you just said, that people own these types of things. You just can't go and ban them. And so he struck down the law that's there.
So, so it will get appealed, I'm sure, to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Oh, sure.
But it's a win, at least at this point, and it gives some foundation. If that law makes it all the way to the Supreme Court, I think it gives the Supreme Court something to consider the arguments put forth by the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of California. Meanwhile, in Missouri, that state is considering banning all federal gun control laws. Now, I don't know if that's possible. I know that Montana tried this a while back, and you need to educate me a little bit here. Basically, they're saying they'll limit all federal gun control laws within the state borders and boundaries. And Missouri, considering that, is that possible?
The Supreme Court's not going to recognize it. But, if you look at the Constitution, when they're talking about the Commerce Clause, traditionally what's always happened is that within the state, the states determine what their laws are and how things operate. It's within, across states, that you have federal law that was operative. And that was basically true up until, the New Deal. At that point, the federal government, had powers that were given to it by the court that just said that that basically allowed them to regulate anything. And so that was a really major change at that time. And I understand the argument that people are making. They're saying for most of our country's history, that's what the Supreme Court decided the rules were. I mean, that's the plain reading of the Constitution. But since the New Deal, that hasn't been the case, and I don't think the courts are going to let them do that.
We'll see what happens. It says all federal acts, laws, executive orders, administrative orders, court orders, rules, and regulations, whether past, present, or future, which infringe on the people's right to keep and bear arms, as guaranteed by the Second Amendment to the United States, First and Section of the Missouri Constitution, shall be invalid in this state. We'll see if they get that far. It'd be quite an accomplishment if they did. I know Montana had a similar provision that was protecting gun manufacturers inside of the state of Montana, but I believe it was struck down by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I'll give you the last word here, Doctor.
Well, I mean, they can try, but I don't think, I think it's going to face the same fate.
All right. Dr. John Lotz, you can find out more at crimeresearch.org, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, Dr. John Lotz. Always appreciate you being here.
Good morning. Great talking to you.
There you have it, and have a great morning yourself. It is Tuesday here. Still to come today, Dr. Jerome Corsi will be on the program with us. Dr. Jerome Corsi will be here, fresh off not pleading guilty to crimes that he did not commit and did not get bullied by the Mueller investigation. We'll talk more in depth about that straight ahead on the Steve Gruber Show.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guys online some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question. Guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. While you work or attend college, in return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan National Guard, aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hey, parents, do kids think you're out of touch because of the way you dress?
Yes.
Well, say hello to instant style with Fashion On. Just spray Fashion On whatever you're wearing and look cool in an instant. Turn orthopedic shoes into vintage high tops, pleated khakis into skinny jeans. Even clip-on ties become fly gold chains. Just spray, let it dry, and presto.
What about my fanny pack?
You mean your hip MP3 player?
Wow.
What about my bifocals?
You mean your hot pink shutter shades?
Hey, I can't see.
But your kids can see you, and trust me, they see fashion.
Thanks, Fashion On.
Fashion On is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.